world's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. You caught me typing something right here as the show opens up. And let me finish this right here. Morning. It is the, what is it? It's the 28th of March, 2018. Not making another one. Thanks for tuning in here today. Man, I got to tell you something. I'm a blessed man. I just want to start off with this morning. I'm a blessed man. I'm looking in the queue. We got 25 people in here. We got room for a couple, three more. In fact, I think we were up over 30 yesterday. Jared did a, we can go to 50 now? All right, so 50 of you can get in here. This is, hey, man, getting to be like real show here. Anyway, my two granddaughters stayed with us last night. We have four grandchildren, Michelle and I, and one's live up the top of the hill, David and Reese. I don't want to give out too much information. They run down the hill every morning to see us. But our other two, our daughter Maggie has a couple children as well, and they both spent the night last night and woke up with them this morning. Of course, they wake up in the middle of the night and they come over. And, man, I'm just, for those of you who haven't experienced, most of you have, but those of you who haven't experienced, my goodness, what a joy grandchildren are. And I feel bad. I was thinking this morning as I was coming down here today, how many friends that I have who are my age and probably older. You don't have any grandkids. I'm 65. And I know friends who are older that don't have any grandchildren. And the reason they don't have grandchildren for the most part, you know, I'm going to double round, circle around back here on something today, is we have for the most part raised really, really selfish children. I don't know how it's happened to us, but we have children who are self-centered. Oh, I guess the whole lives we've been raising them, you know, to get a good education, get a good job, get good stuff. Jared, pull up for me, if you will, Jared, Psalm 127 this morning. That's really where I want to start today. I want to start in Psalm 127. And the greatest thing that you will ever have, I've become convinced of it, the greatest thing you'll ever have, in my perspective, to see the values of my values. The values I raised my children with poured into the life of my grandchildren. One of the greatest joys that I have. And I was reading something on the internet, just yesterday, I believe it was, that the scourge of the American Christian church is we're not having babies. And all I have to do is look around, look at my friends, and we're not having babies. Michelle and I have really emphasized to our children, we would like them to have children. Our son Zach's not married. He likes so many, right? 35 and not married. And I think back, I got married at 27. And I remember my mom thinking I was never going to get married, 27. And then we see them get married, and then they don't want to have children. And I sat down with both of our children, Abby and Maggie, and told them that the most important thing they could have, the most important thing they could ever do with their lives, is have children. He said, quit listening to your church, because by the way, I was in the church when I heard the pastor say, some of you wait till don't have children, I'm paraphrasing, don't have children till you can afford them. Well, folks, when will that be? At what point can you afford children? And I was reading a statistic yesterday that something like 38 or 39% what am I, a baby boomer? 38 or 39% of adult Americans are helping their children with their bills. 38-39% are helping the children with the bills. Now, there's a lot of reasons why. It's a godly taxation system that we have. You're taxed everywhere you turn. You're taxed. Big, big government. And I'm sorry that we have not figured out yet that this might make my friend Don Davidson happy, that taxation is the yoke around our neck. It really, really is. Now, right-wing watch is going to take it and say that I'm against paying taxes. They've tried to do that to me two different times now. And I think I said on the show one time that we're going to give an account to the Lord for how for the taxes that we willingly paid and what we allowed them to do with it. I believe that. And, I believe tax is unconstitutional. I don't believe you'll find it. I don't think you'll find it anywhere in the Constitution to allow able to do an income tax to us. And it's forced the women who got into work, go out and work just to be able to survive. I saw that you have to have a $15 an hour job in order just to pay your rent. I saw that. It's crazy. Hey, listen, I pay my taxes right when you watch. I pay my taxes grudgingly. The question I ask is, should we? Yeah, Vinny.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm getting to. The 13th Amendment, the original 13th Amendment talks about it. Here it is. Taxes are supposed to be levied upon income, not wages. Wages
right.
are what we exchange for our blood, sweat, tears, and time.
That's exactly right. It's an exchange. You exchange your blood, sweat, and tears, and effort. You exchange that for money. That is not income, folks. That is not income. Income originally was supposed to be derived from corporations or companies or whatever, or mainly for people outside the country. And we know that the first income tax came to us just to simply to fund the war, and then look where we are today. And I would wager, I could, you know, I don't know for sure. Half your money goes to taxes. That's involuntary servitude. I don't want to get stuck on that. But I look around me and I see so many of my peers don't have grandchildren. And what a blessing that was. I don't know if Michelle's listening today because she's up with those two little monkeys up there. Michelle, if you can, I'd like everybody to see your other two little monkeys. Maybe we can bring them down. I'm believing for bunches of more. Psalm 127, verse 1 says this. This is powerful. You guys believe the Bible's true? We say we do. Lord, do I have to dip my toe in it? Okay, I will. Okay.
Yes, the Bible's true, yes.
Okay then. Now you're going to really think I'm crazy. That's all right. These are questions I have about what I've been taught, about my faith, about my relationship with Christ, about the truth of his word. Is birth control Christian?
Birth control is satanic.
I was raised Catholic. And people used to laugh because Catholics had such big families. And, my dad, we had five kids. People say, oh, you guys are Catholic. We see these people have 10 kids because the Catholic Church taught them birth control was a sin. And then with the introduction of the pill in the 60s, all restraints were taken off. Isn't it amazing that sex went from procreation to recreation? I'm going to say it again because it's really profound. With the introduction of the pill and followed shortly by abortion, the sexual relationship went from procreation to recreation. So now we have recreational sex. Now we don't even think about it for a man and a woman to be living together. We don't even think about it for our children. We think about it. It bothers us. How can we live in a culture and society? We can train your children in church, put them in Christian schools, do everything you can to raise your children, and then as soon as they leave your house, they shack up and live with somebody. What do you do as a parent when that happens? And as parents, we tend to feel guilty because the kids are living out the values that we taught them. And why is it that we aren't getting the reinforcement from the church that we ought to be getting? Why is it that why is it that so much sin that used to be sin, why is it now accepted within the church? Folks, I believe this, and if I had my life to live over again, I should have had 15 babies. I should have. But I believe the lie of the church. Can't afford them. What are you doing? You can't afford. How are you going to feed all those mouths? I'm in Psalm 127. A song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. In other words, if God isn't for us, our efforts are useless. And is God going to bless a nation that doesn't value life, doesn't value children? And it moves from beyond corporate sin, right? Talk about, I don't know if the Lord's going to take me there this morning or not. Codifying into law sin has consequences throughout the society. Whether you want to believe that or not. See, abortion, when there's a consequence for me personally having an abortion. But there's a greater consequence and a greater judgment that comes upon a land when the government sanctions it. All of it. Look at the curse I've already said it. Women have to work because we're overtaxed. If we were getting taxed 50%, that's another salary. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Thank you, Lord, for sleep. I had great sleep again last night. Look at this. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Folks, children are a reward. They are a reward. It's greater than a 501, 401k. It's greater than an inheritance. It's greater than anything that you could ever, ever finance. It's greater than a big house. It's great. It's great. It's greater than anything. But we don't hear that in the church. We'll hear sermons on financial blessing and how to invest your money. And we'll hear it on all kinds of stuff that is anti what the Lord says. The Lord says, you really want to be a blessed man? Hey, the fruit of the womb is your reward. That's your reward. As arrows are in the hand of mighty men, so are children of your youth. Think how many children we know, men and women who are over 25 years old who have yet to have a child. Now, they're screwing like rabbits, but they're not having children. And that is accepted in the church. Oh, we turn a blind eye. You know, we say, oh, yeah, they are living together, but, you know, the Lord is working on them. Folks, from what I understand, fornicators, those who are having sex outside of marriage, are not welcome in the fellowship of the saints. Would somebody say amen or somebody argue with me on that? If I read the scriptures properly, if my son is sleeping with his girlfriend, he is not welcome in the church. If my daughter is shacking up with her boyfriend, she is not welcome in the church. In fact, the scripture says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Now, folks, listen. Sex outside of marriage with birth control is unfruitful. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Are you guys hearing this? Is this in the Bible or is this not in the Bible? And is this the message that's being taught in your church or is it not? Now, I want you to know, I'm trying not to come down as some fundamentalist this morning, but I tell you, the more I read the Word and the more I look around at my own life, the more of a fundamentalist I become, because I understand that if you do not cling and fight for the fundamentals, eventually anything goes. When you waver off the fundamentals, anything goes. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We have men and women in America. My best buddy in the world, he knows that, he's probably listening. Best buddy in the world and his wife are 70 and no grandchildren. Can you believe that? And if anybody should ever be grandparents, it would be them. What have we done to our children that our children don't want to reproduce? And unfortunately, it's showing up everywhere we look. I saw today, or this morning when I was looking through my stuff, that white, take it what you want, white Protestants are now a minority in America. Did you guys, anybody seen that besides me? White Protestants are now a minority in America. Say that again. White Protestants are now a minority in America. Why? Because the fruit of the womb is our reward and we don't want it. We just want to have sex. We just want to have orgasms. We don't want to have children. God help us, yes.
There's another aspect to not having children, and that's the national security aspect, because the Muslims, by design, are coming in here and having as many kids as they can, because they know eventually they will be able to take over the country at the polls if we don't do something about it. It's happening in Europe. It will happen here. I remember sitting in church over three decades ago and hearing a guest speaker come in and tell us about such a plan. And at that time, three decades ago, I thought he was crazy. Now it's happening.
Well, Larry, and also, folks, the financial consequences of not having children. We don't have any consumers. We don't have any consumers to sell stuff to. Are you ready for this one? We don't have any children to pay into Social Security. That's one of the reasons they're having the borders open. Because they have to have taxpayers. We're killing taxpayers. Now, I'm going to try to connect the dot here. Again, corporate sin brings corporate consequences. There's a difference between personal sin and corporate sin. Corporate sin is when we as a people embrace a sinful lifestyle. Verse 5, hang on a minute. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What is a full quiver? I wish I had 30 of them. I wish I had 30 grandchildren. Why? They make me happy. They're happy and I can influence them and I can shoot them forth as arrows. I can't. Their parents will shoot them forth as arrows into the culture and impact society. Christians are becoming a minority. We look around. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, these children, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, who's going to speak with the enemies in the gate if we're not having our quivers full? Who is going to do that? David Hogg? There's nobody to counteract him. Yeah, somebody tried to jump in. Go ahead. I don't know.
Kyle Hogg.
You know, Coach, the old saying is, where do we go from here? Well, I was listening to a report last night, and, you know, if there's not a revival, things are only get worse, because now they're talking about, with robot and technology taking over a lot of these jobs, here in a few short years, there's going to be what they call useless eaters. So you say, well, what do you do with these useless eaters, these people that are aging, these baby boomers? Well, that's where euthanasia comes in. So it comes full circle. So now the generation that allowed abortion, now the children kill them off through euthanasia. What a prospect. If we don't repent and think, maybe there's still time, you know?
Well, so even repenting is not going to help. We got to start having babies. Most of you know that I was arrested back in 2000. I was arrested for trying to take water to Terry Schiavo. You guys remember the Terry Schiavo thing? And I was down there. At that time, I had just come out of public education where I was teaching handicapped children. That's what I did as a teaching career. I taught those kids in wheelchairs. I taught those kids that couldn't go to the bathroom for themselves. I did that. My wife and I both did it. I did that. I did that a long time, 20 years, 25 years, called handicapped children. And I saw that when they began to kill Terry Schiavo, I said, listen, old people are next. That was one of the things I said every time I had a chance to speak. Yeah. Listen, if you can kill the innocent, if you can kill handicapped children, what happens when grandpa becomes handicapped? What happens when grandpa gets dementia? If you can kill useless eaters when they get old, and you kill useless eaters before they're born, don't we see where this is heading? Don't we understand the corporate consequence of this? And people thought I was crazy, and they called me a lawbreaker. And see, sometimes you got to break the law to make a point. There's worse things than going to jail. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament defying the Roman authorities. Paul did. Paul was a Roman. Paul was a citizen of Rome. And as a Christian living in Rome, he defied the Roman authorities. I'm a Christian living in Ohio. And I'm a Christian living in America. Don't I have that same obligation that Paul had to defy the authorities when they issue unjust edicts? Say, well, the Roman government wasn't Christian. Hey, neither is the American government. and we're being forced to live under these tyrannical edicts from ungodly sources. And at what point, if the Apostle Paul was here today, what would he do? Come on in. Help me out. I'm searching here.
Well, Coach.
How many of you out there pay taxes on they call it voluntarily? How many of you out there do it with a big smile on your face? How many of you out there are dumb enough to say, well, we need to keep the police and we need to keep the military? Oh, you dummy. Huh. You dummies. Do you have any idea how much money we're spending we don't even have? Do you know how many useless services we have? Do you understand we could have the police, we could have the fire department without spending half your income to do that? Do you understand that? Wake up, man.
Hey, Coach, it's even worse than that. People should know that their taxes aren't going to any of those services. They're going to the Federal Reserve, brother.
Yep. Well, Benny, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know what it is, that Federal Reserve thing? The truth is we don't wanna pay the consequences to throw off that ungodly system. And we won't call it for what it is. And the Federal Reserve prints money out of nowhere and then charges us interest for it. I'd like to get that gig. How would you like to get that gig?
I know. But it's an abdication of our own services, you know? I mean, that's what we pay our representatives to do.
How about this one, Vinny? We're paying $1.50 for water. I got so much water flowing right out here in this creek outside. $1.50 for water. That's how stupid we are. But at least that's voluntary. At least I'm doing it. But that's what the Fed's doing to us. They're charging us $1.50 for money, which they just print. It's hideous. And the church has got to wake up. I'm sorry, I don't want to get camped on this, but guys, this is so critical.
Coach.
Thank you for the gift that they are to me, Lord. And I thank you for more of them that are coming and the opportunity to train them, equip them to impact the world. Lord, I thank you. Give me a lot of grandbabies. Give me a quiver full of them. Thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. I believe that. I believe that in the bottom of my heart. And I know people right now who are enjoying their retirement and their kids can't make two ends meet and they're working two jobs, doing everything they can. And mom and dad and grandpa got retirement and they're going on vacations and they got big campers and they're driving around big campers and they got second homes down in Florida. My goodness. God help us.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Well, there's a family here, just to show the other side of what's possible. There's a family here, a Catholic family. They had 9 kids and he has 39 grandchildren. 39 grandchildren. One family. One family. See, this is what the Muslims understand. They get it. In one generation, two generations, he's got a church worth of people in his family. Mm-hmm. We don't get it.
Hey, Jared, see if you can pull up. I don't know if you can find this, man. If you can find this, you are amazing. See if you can find Pastor Matt Truella. Go to Defy Tyrant Style. I think it's there. I want you to see his family. I want you to see Matt Truella's family and what one family can do and how one family can have an impact if they are having children. And the culture in the church today is don't have children because you can't afford them. Wicked. It is so wicked. I know Jared's searching, trying to find Jared. See, Matt Truella, when we were up in Wisconsin, he spoke at the conference. He spoke on family and children and all that stuff. And he had his grandchildren with him. We had a good picture of it, Jared. I don't know if you're able to find that. Let's see. I know Jared's searching around. Look at that one right there. Put that one up there. You guys see that? How many of us have something like that? Now, since this picture was taken, some of the guys in the back of this picture, they've been married and they're having babies now. The daughters have grown up and they're having babies. I don't even know how old this picture is. This picture that you're seeing right now, probably 10 years old. I forget how many children Pastor Matt said he has. He has like 11 children and 59 grandchildren. Something unbelievable. That's a Christian family right there, folks. Right there, you're looking at a Christian family. What's happened to them? Oh, hey, no, it's going to be There's going to be a price to pay for it. Somebody, go ahead.
Coach, you know, can you hear me?
I do, yes.
Okay. You know, it seems to me that a lot of this is there's symptoms. And you know, the Old Testament, which I know that doesn't apply anymore. That was way back when. But say it did apply, and you go back to Deuteronomy, I believe it's 28, where God talks about the blessings and the curses. It's all laid out. When you're obedient as a nation, as a people, this is what happens. When you're disobedient, this is what happens. And man, as I read it, I don't know. I know most people don't think it, but it seems still very relevant today. So a lot of what we're not having children, all this stuff, it's just symptoms, you know?
So fellas, at what point, okay, I'll go there, Lord. At what point do you come to recognize a truth that you didn't have before? And then once you have that truth, you're now responsible for it. I remember Flip Benham. God bless Flip Benham. Flip had two families. Really. He had four children. Then he got fixed. And then he began to be convicted about stopping the blessing of the Lord, life. And he went to the doctor and got his vasectomy reversed, and then Flip had a couple more children. And so where the rubber meets the road is, how many of you right now watching this show are capable of having children? The Lord calls them a blessing. In fact, they're the ones who are going to stand in the gates and contend with the enemy and have shut it off. Can't afford anymore. Don't want anymore. Well, did it ever appeal? Did it ever dawn on you? It isn't about what you want. Maybe the Lord wants more. That maybe your children, in a funny kind of way, that your children are going to be your saving grace. Did it ever dawn on you that as you get older and older and older, and the country gets more and more broke, and Social Security goes away, that your children are going to be the ones that are going to take care of you in your old age? If our children have to take care of us in our own age, some of us are in a serious, serious, serious mess. I want to hammer down here, because I know many of you still don't get it. Corporate sin. Corporate sin is different than individual sin. Before I do that, Jared, bring up Jeremiah's. It says Jeremiah's post. We prayed yesterday for Jeremiah Thomas, Rusty Thomas's son, who's found out he has cancer. He's fighting cancer. And this morning, I was just doing some Facebook search this morning, as I always do, and I came across Jeremiah Thomas's post this morning. And I thought it would be, I want to share it with you. Did I send it to you, Jared? So I recopied it. This young man has just found out that he has cancer. See, listen, be very careful. I never call it his cancer. I never ever say that. I never take ownership on it. I believe this is an invader. But here's what Jeremiah posted. See, the Thomas family is a family of life. And Rusty has 11 kids, I think. And look what this young man posted on his Facebook page. I don't deserve your healing, but Lord, your will always deserves my praise. Through death or life, may your great name be lifted up, and everything that is of me fall to the wayside. O Lord, strengthen me that I may fight the battle with courage that Satan cannot tamper with. If you take me home or leave me here to fight a little longer, may it be your breath in my lungs and your song on my tongue. Lord, I consecrate myself to the full advancement of the kingdom of God. Lord, I love you, and I can't wait to see you face to face. Amen.
It was brought up well.
Now, dudes, that's an arrow. That is an arrow.
Wow, amen.
Amen.
Wow. Hey, Coach, on your corporate sin being different than individual sin, couldn't you say, in my mind, corporate sin is condoning what's going on around you.
Romans 1:28, isn't it, Larry? Who not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who do it?
Yep.
Go there real quick. I want people to see this. I want people, Romans 1, the last verse of Romans 1, I think it's 1:28. It may not be 28. It may be more than that. Just go to Romans 1 and... Clear on, as far on down, Jared. Clear down the end. I said 28, but it's not. Clear down the end. There it is. 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. We allow it to be legalized, and then we follow those ungodly laws. We follow those we do. The church follows the unrighteous edicts of government. The church teaches the unrighteous ignorance edicts of government. And the scripture says, come out from among them and be ye separate. How did we ever get, if there's a separation, hear me, there's a separation between the church and the state. Then what is the government reaching in, doing, reaching into the pockets of Christians? Is this a one-way? Is this a reverse separation between the church and state? In other words, the government come in and do whatever they want to the church and Christians and believers, but the believers have no impact on government? You think that's the way the Lord set it up? No, that's why we're headed for a revolution. I don't know how it's going to come out, but that's what I believe. I feel somebody trying to say something. I got another one, Jared. Pull it up there. It just says emailer. Emailer. Another one. I want to share this with you because of encouragement, just encouraging my own heart. And as much as I wish it wasn't, this is becoming a fellowship for most. This is. Well, how else can you explain guys getting up in the morning and joining this thing? I hear from people all across the country that are watching this show. I don't care about watching the show. I went to Dallas, Texas, and the number of people that came up that were watching the huddle, being fed through the huddle, it's almost an invisible church, if you know what I'm saying. As much as I fight it, I don't want it to be a church. Fellowship, I can live with it being a fellowship. I can live with it being a family. Sometimes you have family spats and family feuds. I can live with that. But I don't want it to be a church in the general sense of I'm the pastor and you are the sheep. That's not the way. I got this email last night, really blessed, from a guy that I know, worked with in the past, encouraged me. Listen to this. And I believe this could be said over and over and over and over. I didn't put his name on it. He probably wouldn't have cared, but just for a decency. He says, Coach, I've been watching a lot of the shows, and every morning when I get to work, I can't wait to be punched in the gut with more truth. I recently have been dating a woman who claimed to be a Christian. Went to church every Sunday, listened to all of the 6-foot icicles that she could. We had a conversation about abortion about a week ago, and I explained my disdain for abortion. Coach, I'm not kidding you when I say that this sweet little 5-foot, 100-pound woman became almost demonic towards my belief. She basically said that because I was a man, that I had no business worrying about what a woman does with her body and her life. She wasn't hearing any of my rebuttals. As the conversation continued, I found out that she had been raped by a black man and subsequently aborted the baby. So in her mind, no man had any right to tell her what to do, and all men were pigs. And you can guess, the relationship is over. I just wasn't going to allow her to impose her power over me. Your teaching on Isaiah 3 this morning really hit me hard. All of my adult life, I've been battling the spirit of overbearing, power-hungry women, both in my job and my marriage to my ex-wife, and even in other relationships. I work with feminine men. My CEO is gay. All of my managers are women. I work side by side with gay men 8 hours a day. I fight feminism every day. I say all of that to tell you that I appreciate all that you do, and please keep fighting for truth. Be encouraged. People are listening and are hungry for the Word of God. Your show is the one part of my day that puts everything in perspective. God bless you and your family. Miss you, Coach.
Amen.
Amen.
1,000 times over, I could hear emails like that.
Amen. 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 Thank you.
And it's because of what I've been. It's because of the corporate sin of the church. The church is calling good what is evil, and evil what is good. Now, the church may not be calling evil good, but the church is, how do I say it? Tolerant of evil. Church tolerates evil. I was thinking of David Arthur yesterday. I don't know if you guys know this. David Arthur was on a national radio program yesterday for an hour Doesn't matter. And I listened for an hour to David Arthur. And I don't know this for sure, but I bet his email blew up afterwards as he spoke the truth about homosexuality and lies that the church has accepted and the power of people listening to what they know to be the truth that they are not hearing. I don't know, is David with us today? David, did you get any reaction yesterday at all, David? I don't even know if he's with us. Yeah, I don't think he's with us. What's that?
He's in a YouTube chat.
Okay, trust me on that. Trust me on that. Now I want to okay, I got to do this. Jared, I've been waiting to do this. Anybody want to say anything before I'm shifting gears here a little bit, although I think it's really, really important. I want to give you a chance to jump in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That's like David. I'm getting funny looks from people, from certain churchgoers, when I say that I'm going to hire David at the car lot. Can you imagine what the buzz is going to be in my hometown?
Oh, my God.
Christians? Huh?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And it's powerful. See, David Arthur, boys and girls, is what we all talk about. He is redeemed. But in the mind of most Christians who have not been redeemed, he is still tied to his past. Does that make sense? You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. He is okay. His sins are forgiven, but I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want to do anything. VCY America, Crosstalk, that's the program he was on. It was on for an hour. And not only that, doors are opening up more for David to speak. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. David Arthur is not welcome in the church because the church believes in forgiveness, but they don't believe in redemption. How do I know that? Because there are very few people sitting in the church who are actually redeemed. They're saved, but they're not redeemed. They're not transformed. They haven't passed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. They have in their mind. They may be on their way to heaven, but their lifestyle doesn't add up to it. Folks, if Christians were really Christians, we would be pumping out babies by the boatload if we were really Christians. That's how you build the kingdom.
Amen.
I know it's amen on that one. I know it is. Okay, I'm gonna kick you in the shoes or toes again. Jared, bring up blood guilt while you do that. Yeah, Roger.
Well, before you kick us, I think one of the saddest, where I get sad sometimes, and as I deal with this, for me at least, I wish I had all 25 of you coming into my house this Friday, and I was going to take you to my favorite restaurant and just hang and have an adult beverage with you. And I just enjoy so much the men in the fellowship. My only sadness is that they all don't live, 30 minutes from me or a half hour. So it's a blessing for me, and I know many men, just to come together and fellowship. And I just want to encourage each man here, because I know you won't bring this up, but to support your ministry, to write a check to the ministry. We love the huddle. We love the ministry. And, men, we need to support Dave and the work he's doing and the various ministries that flow from his work.
Amen.
Amen, Larry.
Is worthy of our support financially. So I just encourage the men. And like I said, it's the fellowship. There's so much I get out of the huddle, the Bible, the culture. But it's the fellowship that I enjoy.
Amen.
And the teaching, and I could go on and on. It's not perfect. There are issues. Sometimes things go a little awry in the huddle, but overall, it's just a blessing to me and my son, I believe, and my family. I've learned so much, so I don't know other guys have too. But men, let's support it financially.
I didn't pay Roger to say that, but Roger, that was the Holy Spirit bringing that up. Because listen, I've really had expenses over the last 2 months. I bought a couple cars for folks. We put out a lot of expenses to take to go to Dallas and to take others to Dallas to make their load lighter in Dallas. We're working on the event here and coming up in a couple weeks in April in here in Canton. There's expenses associated with that. You would think that would be a money maker, but it's not a money maker. And Lord will get money to you if he can get money through you. And if I were to set up right now a testimony on the number of people that Past Assault Ministries has flowed money into, it would astound you. I'm just telling you, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. And I'm appealing to all of you right now. We shelled out some money in these last 2 months. And see, the donations really go down during the winter, after Christmas, right? So in January and February, people are still paying off their visa bills, and so that impacts us. We're not going broke, okay? We're not going broke. We shelled out some dough. Yes.
Hey, Coach, by the way, Roger, I think how you put that was perfect. Can I just give a quick testimony, just a personal testimony?
Sure.
Because this is just what happened for me. You know, when I first started listening to your show, you know, we were still going to a mega church, which we no longer go to for some obvious reasons. But you know, I was always brought up, you know, hearing, man, you got to bring your tithe and whatever into the storehouse, which, you know, I was taught was the local church. And, you know, I'm just telling, and I'm not trying to make my conviction your conviction, but seek the Lord on this matter. That's what I did with my wife. And I've been totally freed up. I've come to realize that giving to people like Coach Dave, it's really doing the kingdom's work. And that's really, if you think about it, what's the giving for? Is it just a ritual to give so we can check that box and say, hey, you know, I mean, isn't that what religion teaches us?
Yeah.
And so if you think about what Coach is doing, it's practical. It's kingdom building ministry.
Amen.
And so I'm just telling you personally, I've been freed up. I have no guilt. God hasn't struck me with a lightning bolt for not continuing to give to the local church. I'm still in good health, and I've never been more free and more proud of the money that God gives Pam and I, that we can give some of it to simple like hope that we know goes to his work.
Thanks, George. We give where there's a need. We're different than the church. And the truth is, as you all know, you give money to the church, and you know, people say tithe, bring all the tithes to the storehouse to buy meat in my house. And the truth is, if you need some meat, you probably aren't going to get much help at the church. They might have a food pantry. They might have that. But if you have a real financial need, chances are you're probably not going to get much help at the church. And we have people call us all the time. Well, enough of that. Enough of that. Blood guilt. Folks, not all sins are the same. Now, I have on my screen here, this is sent to me by a viewer, a huddle guy. I don't know what you call people who listen that aren't in the huddle. I guess they're huddle guys. This was sent to me, I don't know, a couple months ago, and I kept bringing it up every day as something, Lord, I want to talk about this. And I haven't been able to get it in, and I got it in. I got it in today. Folks, listen to a second. I'm not going to take you through all of these, but there is direct corporate blood guilt on a nation because of the shedding of innocent blood. And there are some scriptural references that if we were to take the time down, that would show you the scriptural reference for the blood guilt, the corporate blood guilt. Because I keep saying to you, until we stop killing babies, this is upon us. This blood is on our hands. Do you remember when the Jews, when they crucified Jesus, what did they say? His blood be on our hands. They were talking about a corporate condemnation, a corporate consequence for personal sin. And so it becomes different when, if I go out and fornicate, have sex outside marriage with my wife, that is personal sin. If the church or the government legalizes it or winks at it, now it becomes corporate. Now there's a great, certainly the church accepting it would be worse than the government. But the government legalizing abortion and the church not rising, see, the church just can't say we're against that. It has to go deeper than that. The church has to say that that is the most ungodly, unbelievable evil ever to be perpetrated on a people and rise up and do something about it. And the church isn't. So there is a corporate blood guilt that goes upon it, okay? And these are scriptures that show it. And I continue to say that abortion isn't a symptom. Abortion is a cause of a lot of what we see going on in America. It is a judgment from God. We are corporately under judgment for our acceptance of God. And what happens? A lot of other stuff. You know, it's like if you sit in the shade and you say, well, the sun's there, but it's not impacting me. I'm sitting in the shade. I'm not getting sun cancer, but I'm not getting vitamin, whatever vitamin, like vitamin E. I'm not getting that either. I'm not getting a sun tan. I'm not getting warm. So you can sit under that covering and think you're okay, but there's a lot of consequences to just sitting under that covering, blessings that you're missing out as a result of. So this, I got three verses, Jared. Maybe we can go to those. Let's go to, here's what happens when a nation sheds innocent blood. Psalms 106, 37 through 43. Your rulers will hate you. It is a corporate consequence of a corporate sin. That's 106, 37 through 43. Go to 37. Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrifice unto the idols of themselves. You can say Canaan. We are killing babies as idols to ourselves. And look what happened. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus were they defiled with their own works, and they went a-whoring with their own invention. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance, and he gave them into the hands of the heathen, and they that hated them ruled over them. Guys, a consequence of blood guilt. Their enemies, verse 42, also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. All right? It's a corporate sin. Corporate consequence. So you ask yourself, which came first? All the fornication we see or abortion? Did fornication multiply after abortion was legalized? Did fornication multiply after the pill was introduced? See, there was always fornication, but not like when we legalized the killing of innocent babies. It increased. Why? Judgment. Corporate judgment. See, the sin of killing a person doesn't change. That doesn't change. But now your sin affects others. It always does. Yeah, Larry. Jared, it's get the next one up there. I'm sorry. Yeah, get Ezekiel 20 up there then, Jared, please.
Yeah, go ahead. This is Mark, Coach. The first corporate curse, the first corporate judgment was when God cursed Cain's family. His grandfather.
How about that? Huh? There you go.
It's about the blood. You know, we talk about the children because we see it the most and it hurts us the most. But it's any sacrifice, any blood spilled that God created.
And so the family was intact until Cain's killed Abel, and then what happened? A curse came upon the family, right?
Right. And do you know what happened there, just briefly? Cain got old, was blind. His grandson was out hunting with him, showing him where to shoot his arrow. And Cain's grandson made him shoot Cain's own son. So when he went and found out, Cain hit his grandson so hard that he killed him. His family was cursed. God cursed him. Now that came out of the extra books, Enoch and Jasher, but that piece of the story shows the corporate curse that you're talking about. And all through the lines, Cain and, you know, all of that's been cursed, so. Larry,
now listen, we were delivered from that curse, right? We were delivered from that curse by the blood of Christ. We were delivered from that curse, but then we go and do it again. We go and do it again.
Amen.
Now, right? Okay, hang on. I want to wrap this up so I can get this out of my head. It's been bothering me, not bothering me, but been knocking on my door quite a while. So the second thing that happens is their laws will enslave you. Corporate sin brings the enslavement of your enemies. And that's Ezekiel 20, verse 25. 24, start at 24 there, Jared. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. Folks, we have become our own idols. Our lives are more important than our children. That's why we kill them. Amen. We are the idol.
Amen.
Wherefore, I gave them up also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. In other words, our enemies roll over us and they give us statutes and judgments that are ungodly and we cannot live under those, but those are the judgments of God upon innocent blood.
You know, the corporate punishment
that came. Isaiah 5 then, Jared. Isaiah 5:23. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, everybody is under that because there was Adam, the created man. He had two sons. One of them killed the other one. So there was Adam and Cain, and everybody came out of Cain. You know, Cain is an ancestor for everybody. So his curse is our curse. When we plant a garden, there's weeds that grow up in it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that corporate punishment is very, very real and universal.
So Eve, if I remember this right, what was the curse that came upon Eve? That she would have what? Pain in childbirth or something like that? Isn't what it said?
Yeah, and mankind is still under that. Women say that's the worst pain there is. I'm not sure about that. That's what they say.
So I'm now in Isaiah 5. Your rights are going to be taken away. Why? Verse 21 of Isaiah 5. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, and woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. So our rights are being taken away from us. Can't we see what's happening around us? And can't we make the cause and effect, in my mind, of the flow of innocent blood? Blood is currency in the spiritual realm. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. One drop of Jesus' blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Blood of both goats and bulls. Blood sacrifice. Blood is all throughout the Bible. And what? Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood, and it brings judgment and consequences with it. That's why, in my mind, it is the greatest of all the evils that we're facing. Yes.
You know, Coach, in 19 years of being at a megachurch, what you're sharing from Psalms and from the Old Testament was not taught.
Amen.
That was not taught. So now wonder, Amen. The masses of what we call Christians today don't have a clue that that's even in the Bible, or that that surely could be relevant for today. Right. They've been taught the grace message that it's all under grace. You can do whatever you want to do. You're under God's grace. It's been so twisted. But think about it. That part of the Bible you're sharing right now, in my opinion, has been mostly eliminated from Christendom in America today.
Amen. Hey, George, you're right, George.
We're spitting in the face of the Lord, asking him to bless us financially. We're spitting right in the face of the Lord. Yeah, was that Chad, somebody trying to come in?
No, it was Glenn.
Go, Glenn.
George, I'm sitting here thinking what George just said. And I think others were thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. You don't hear this. This is never, I have never even heard a sermon that comes close to what you just enumerated.
So that's why 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, see, not everybody, not everybody, if just my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. This is corporate. Can't you hear that? If my people, not if the individual, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven. And I'll forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Why is the land not being healed? It is under a curse. And it's not the responsibility of Donald Trump to end abortion. It's not the responsibility of Paul Ryan or a Republican Congress. It's the responsibility that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And the church, like it or not, is complicit. Romans 1:132, and in bed and corporately approving the slaughter of unborn children. And the Lord said, if my church doesn't turn, you are just wasting your time.
Hey, Coach, can I plug in? Listen, there's always a remnant. And I say this, brother, my church, you know I preach it. We are at the gates of hell 3 days a week. And brother, but it's a remnant. And most people that my church, listen, Jesus is building his church. First off, it's not my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against that. And eventually people will get done eating their cake and soft ice cream messages on Sunday. And they'll come for the truth because it is the truth that'll set them free from this. That one drop of innocent blood when Cain slew Abel, that innocent blood cried out, brother. And it's not just in America, it's worldwide. Since Roe versus Wade, I kind of did a math on it, it has been nearly over 1.5 billion people, and I call them people, that have been killed at the hand of abortion. All that blood, that innocent blood, is crying out for justice. The world is under a curse, not just
America. Okay, so let me throw this one at. Let me tie a bow or connect a dot here, okay? Because I started out today's show talking about my grandchildren and what a blessing grandchildren are. More than children. Grandchildren are unbelievable. And how many people my age don't have grandchildren? I'm tying a bow on this, okay? So I already said this once. Stay with me. I would hypothesize that perhaps the rejection of our children for having children is a judgment and a curse from God because we have not valued life. And because we have not valued life and we allow the slaughter of an entire generation to take place, could it be possible that a strong delusion has become upon our own children where they now no longer value children? And could it be that the curse of Almighty God is upon many of us who are barren and do not have grandchildren because we have not reached out and done everything we could to rescue the least amongst us? And because of the corporate consequence and the corporate sin, some of you don't have grandchildren. put that cause and effect hey, in Coach, your pipe and the, smoke on that one. Yes.
The true fear is to eliminate any children who are going to end up Christians. The true fear is to have some Christianity left over in our grandchildren that's going to trouble the future, right? The educational systems, everything they're feeding children in games and TV, movies, it's all about the future that they want them to see. And it's up to us to try to pull them out of that or restrict them from that, make them some weird cult in their homes where they're learning about Jesus. It's like that's what it's turned to again. And this has happened before, Coach.
Yes, it has.
I mean, Jesus came, they were taking children out of the homes and killing them. I mean,
we're doing
it over and over and over. And like you said, it's up to us to stop it. The corrupt governments aren't going to.
Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.